In the meantime, Abu Sufyan had managed to elude the Muslims and taken the caravan beyond their reach. He sent word that the merchandise was safe and that the army should turn back. The sources make it clear that when it came to the point, many of the Quraysh were reluctant to fight their kinsmen. But Abu Jahl would have none of this. "By Allah," he cried, "we will not go back until we have been to Badr. We will spend 3 days there, slaughter camels, and feast and drink wine, and the girls shall play for us. The Arabs will hear that we have come and will respect us in the future." But these defiant words show that Ibn Abu Jahl did not expect a battle. He had little conception of the horror of war, which he seemed to envisage as a kind of party complete with dancing girls. The Quraysh were so far removed from the steppes that warfare had become a chivalric sport that would enhance the prestige of Mecca. There was a very different spirit in the Muslim camp. After the trauma and terror of the Hijra, the emigrants could not view the situation in such a confident, carefree light. As soon as Muhammad learnt that the Meccan army was approaching, he consulted the other chiefs. The Muslims were vastly outnumbered. They had expected an ordinary raid, not a full-scale battle, which was a very different matter. Muhammad was not the commander-in-chief. He could not command obedience, but the men decided to fight it out. As Sa'd ibn Mu'adh said on behalf of the helpers, "We have given you our word and agreement to hear and obey. So go where you wish, and we are with you. And by God, if you were to ask us to cross this sea and you plunged into it, we would plunge into it with you. We do not dislike the idea of meeting your enemy tomorrow. We are experienced in war, trustworthy in combat." Unlike the Quraysh, the Aus and Khazraj were practiced soldiers after years of tribal warfare in Yathrib. But even so, the odds were overwhelmingly against them, and all the Muslims hoped that they would not have to fight. For 2 days, the two armies gazed bleakly at one another from opposite ends of the valley. The Quraysh looked impressive in their white tunics and glittering armour, and despite Sa'd's stirring words, some of the Muslims wanted to retreat. There was great fear in the camp. The Prophet tried to rouse their spirits. He told them that in a dream God had promised to send 1,000 angels to fight alongside them. But while the Quraysh were feasting and drinking, certain that the Muslims would surrender, Muhammad was making practical preparations. He lined up his troops in close formation and positioned his men by the wells, depriving the Quraysh of water and forcing them, when the time came, to advance uphill, fighting with the sun in their eyes. But when he looked at the huge Meccan army, he wept. "O Allah," he prayed, "if this band that is with me perishes, there will be no one after me to worship you. All the believers will abandon the true religion." He realized that this battle would be decisive. If the Muslims allowed the Quraysh to force them back into Medina, the Ummah would make no lasting impact on Arabia. Something of his determined resolve must have been conveyed to his men. The Quran describes the great peace that descended upon the soldiers at this frightening moment. There was a sudden rainstorm, which seemed a good omen.